Buzz, you're a ball boy there at Cronulla, weren't you?
Oh, I wasn't, mate. Nah, I've always just been up in the press box, mate, eating the sandwiches. Oh.
What about when you were young, a little Phil Rothfield running around with curly hair on the field, grabbing the ball, placing it back down on the sideline? You would have been a sideline official,
mate,
Buzz, wouldn't
you? I was a Newcastle boy, mate. I used to go and watch the Western Suburbs Rosellas at Harker Oval every Sunday afternoon, mate. In those days, the Newcastle comp was sensational. Johnny Rape had a year up there.
Ah, that's right.
John Coutts played for Australia out of Newcastle.
Yeah.
Terry Panowitz played for New South Wales and Australia out of Maitland. And Brian Burke, the heart. Yeah, but I don't want to keep boring people, mate, with my upbringing. No, it was a great comp, though.
Buzz, a wild old story surrounding John Bateman on the weekend. How did it all come out and play out?
Oh, well, it began to play out on Friday when James Hooper broke the story on Fox Sports that John and his manager, Isaac Moses, were looking at other opportunities in the NRL around the clubs, and he'd asked for a release. Now, John Bateman, he insists it didn't happen. So he has this unusual contract where he can renegotiate his financials at the end of each season, even though he's under contract at the end of next year. But his manager took the opportunity and, you know, he's really thankful to Don Ferner because, well, he's got a short career span like every NRL player. You know, the average is only 4 years for an NRL player. And John doesn't have a trade. John, with that accent, he's unlikely to get a job in the media. And John wants to make everything he can out of rugby league. And Don Ferner, unlike a lot of CEOs, was really upfront and honest with him. And even though he was Dally M second row of the year, he said, I've got other commitments. I can't upgrade you this year and very unlikely to do it next year. So he said, look, if you want to have a look around, if you think you can set yourself up a bit better than we can help, go check it out. Clubs like St George have lost Tyson Brazil and have a stack. I think James Graham's going to retire too. I think clubs like the Bulldogs will be cashed up next year. And again, Dally M second row of the year, really, really good player.
Mm.
I do feel sorry for the Raiders though, because he is such a popular dude, not just with the Poms there, the fans, everyone. This would have an unsettling effect on the eve of the relaunch.
Yeah, it certainly will, Buzz. I want to ask you a couple of things. If he's asking for a release, the release is at the end of this year, that's correct?
That's correct. When I spoke to him over the weekend, he insisted he would stay this season at least.
Right, so we've got that cleared up. The tweet, he's denying that he put this tweet out attacking Don Ferner, that's correct?
That's correct. Apparently, you can get into Photoshop and even the blue tick he has, is, you know, to the authenticity of his account.
Yep.
Photoshop. Yeah, he and look, I believe him. I don't think any player is silly enough to call his boss a dickhead, and you'd agree on that.
Yep. And what about the talk in grand final week about him looking for an upgrade or a release from his contract at that point in time? Because for me, that was the thing that I was disappointed about. Choose that week to release that information?
Look, it was really, really bad timing, wasn't it? And look, you wouldn't think he'd win too many friends doing that. But look, it all came about when he got rid of his English manager and Isaac Moses took over. And look, Isaac goes for every penny he can possibly get for footballers, which you can't blame him for, but he's also a very controversial figure in the game. And he was the man who was basically accused of tearing the West Tigers apart because he looked after Mitchell Moses and he looked after James Tedesco and he looked after Aaron Woods. And he took, you know, players probably made the ultimate decisions, but, you know, he manages probably three quarters of the Broncos side, and he's got enormous, plus Anthony Seibold, he's got enormous sway there. So, look, there's one thing about Ricky Stewart. He won't have a manager, you know, tell him what his players are worth.
Yeah.
Same with Don Ferner. If they think at this stage to keep Jack Whiten, to keep that grand final squad to, that squad together. And that's what happens when you make the grand final. Your players, it becomes much harder to keep your squad together because everyone wants to look at the players.
Yeah, and that's a good point. I mean, you've got Whiten, who's just recently re-signed. You've got Josh Hodgson. You've got Josh Papali, and they're arguably the best players in their positions in the game. You've got a guy like Nick Kotrick coming off contract. Plus, you throw in Whitehead and all these other guys that are on massive amount of money. It's hard to keep them all, so it'll be a juggling act. But John Bateman, it's clear that it's for next year, but the issue is, Buzz, it'll become bigger and bigger if there's no decision made, because every press conference that Ricky goes to, every press conference that the player goes to throughout the year, the question will always be asked, what's John doing? And that then becomes a distraction, doesn't it?
Yeah, we'll be asking the club probably on a weekly basis, what's the latest on John Bateman's future? And look, one of the problems they're now dealing with, Laurie, is that it wasn't that long ago the Raiders couldn't sign a player. No one wanted to go to the national capital. And they had to sort of pay overs in many cases to get players there. And, you know, I know they've got a lot of ponds, but there's a couple of other players there who possibly wouldn't be on the same money at Sydney-based clubs. So that's the other problem they're dealing with, and while they're facing this. Like, I think John Bateman is probably worth a little bit more than 600.
Buzz. Yep.
Sorry.
No, go for it, Buzz.
Well, I think he might be worth it, you know. If you look at other players in his position, they're probably earning 7 at his level. Mm.
Yeah, but he's got to weigh up whether he wants to stay in a good setup or go to a club that's developing and rebuilding, and whether he wants to put himself through that or not. But, you know, John Bateman, if he leaves the Canberra Raiders, it'll be a player they don't want to lose, but it's someone they certainly won't be able to not overcome, or an obstacle they won't be able to overcome.
Yeah, look, 100 grand's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But I think for a football player like him, I'd rather cop the 600 with Canberra than 700 at St George Illawarra, the way they're going at the moment. The uncertainty over their coach.
Yeah, I think when you look at signing contracts, the more money you get, the more responsibility comes with that.
Yeah, and the problem with that was the manager's not saying, even though, like, I agree with what you're saying, Buzz, and John Bateman might feel that way as well because he wants to play finals footy, but I can guarantee you now, there's no player agent that is saying, yes, yeah, stay with the 600. He's saying 20% of 600 versus 20% of 700. Give me the 700 deal.
Yeah, you're probably right, mate. You're probably right. Yep.
I tell you what, though, Buzz, we're looking forward to the footy being back on Thursday night. The Broncos taking on the Eels. A lot of people think that this could be the Eels' season.
They do, mate. And isn't it exciting, to open with those two great clubs who are undefeated? And, mate, it'll be a wonderful game of football. I don't care about crowds. I think you'll find the TV networks will readjust their sort of production, the way they bring it into our lounge room. I think we'll see tighter shots and not so many empty seats. And, you know, they'll really pump the atmosphere up in that regard. And we're going to have those sideline mics, and we're going to hear plenty of the, you know, it's a shame we might even need a delay button, you know, because we'll have a bit of language. But that's a great game to kick off the season, mate. And to think Peter Volandis is now working on getting the crowds back. You know what date I think they'll come back? I reckon I've got the exact date.
Yeah, give it to us.
And, well, the NRL did the first 9 rounds and did venues, okay? And in every round, they have a 6:30 Sunday night game, which wouldn't be all that popular with fans, you know, on a work night and school night. But you then go to round 10, which starts Thursday night, July 16. And they don't have venues listed on the draw. And that's the first round they don't have venues. And I'm thinking, well, they're going to start thinking about fan-friendly venues by then. Still a long way away, July 16. But importantly, Laurie, every week until round 10, the Sunday games are at 4 o'clock and 6:30. On Sunday, July 19, when we're expecting the crowds back, they go back to a 2 o'clock and a 4 o'clock Sunday game. So I reckon that's the tip, mate, yep. Round 10.
All right. Well, we'll put that in our diary and we'll check up with you closer to that date. But I'll tell you what, Buzz, it was a fascinating interview you did with Peter Volandis on the weekend in the paper. And we got a real insight into the way that he was thinking and, you know, the amount of time that he's put into the game over the last 8 weeks. Geez, he's had to overcome some obstacles and, you know, this is just another one that he's facing at the moment to get crowds back to the game. But have you seen a better administrator or a better performance from administrator in your years covering not only rugby league but sport, just with the way that he's attacked everything and he's delivered?
Yeah, John Quayle and Ken Arthurson were always my favourite administrators, and the stress and the strain they went through, and the ARL taking on the, you know, the might and the you know, the drama with Super League. But I've never, ever in any sport seen a more dynamic administrator and someone who just sets goals, doesn't jump hurdles, he crashes through them to make it happen, you know. And what I found, and my favourite part of the interview, was the human side. And look, I conducted the interview on Zoom. And there was one stage I said, look, you must be exhausted. And he started talking about he was operating on 2 hours sleep and he was eating terribly, pies and chocolate bars, et cetera. So I said, where will you be 7:30 Thursday night? And you could see his face on the Zoom on the computer and he really started choking up. And, you know, I thought he was going to break down. And we stalled the interview for probably 10, 15 seconds and it has really taken its toll on him too. He had to take a week off work at Racing New South Wales last week. And certainly the most dynamic, Laurie, and probably the best I've ever encountered.
Yeah, and I hope people realise the amount of effort, you know, along with his team as well. But being at the forefront and being the figure, because if it went horribly wrong or pear-shaped, then everyone was going to lay into Peter Volandis. Everyone
particularly when he's labelled reckless and you know, ignoring government advice and all that sort
you
of
know,
thing.
And for me, the way he has gone about it has just been unbelievable. And he is strong. He is someone that the game has needed for a long time. And I think we'll be in a lot better shape with him being at the forefront.
Yeah. Guys, before I go, could I have a private chat with Clarkie? Or not private, because they're on air.
No. Have a private chat.
I've heard this before, Buzz. Real private.
Anything mate, you want to ask.
Go for it, buddy.
Mate, 5:30, Saturday afternoon, Bankwest Stadium.
Yep.
The Cronulla Sharks are playing your West Tigers. Mm. And I want to have a little wager with you.
Oh, got me.
Mate, not cash. I'm talking lunch.
Okay,
my suggestion
even better.
My suggestion is this. If the Sharks win, you have to come to the Shire, out with the battlers and, you know.
Where I lived for 6 years, yes.
Yeah, where you lived for 6 years.
Liverpool on the beach.
Do we have to go through your property portfolio?
Liverpool on the beach, I'm more than happy to come back to Lillipilly.
How about if the West Tigers win, you take me to Catalina's and I'll take you to Northies if the Sharks
have a go.
Wouldn't be the first time I've been to Northies, Buzz. Won't be the last. I'm in. You got me.
Okay.
I actually don't mind. I don't think that's a fair bet because even if the Tigers win, I'm happy to come out to the Shire for lunch.
No, if the Tigers win, mate, we're going. No, that's right. You're coming to the Shire. Right?
Yeah, but I'm saying. It's a win-win for me. I can see my mum, Yathong Street, say g'day. And then come and have lunch at Northies. Bring that on.
Mate, I get the Catalinas probably once every 5 years.
Well, that's once more than me.
Oh, stop.
Mate, I've got to save for 12 months to go there. Buy a piece of fish.
Anyway.
Doyle's. I'll take you to Doyle's. $20 fish and chips.
Good on you. We've got a lot of witnesses to this set now.
Go to Tigers.
Actually, Buzz, I do want to ask you. Now, the harness trainer Taylor Gillespie has a horse. called Buzz Rothfield, and she has described it as quite the looker and moves really nicely.
Hey, mate, you know it's a gelding, don't you? It is. No, I couldn't believe that when I saw that. Seriously, it's funny, isn't it? It's by a horse called Sports Rider. So, but I was wrapped when I saw that.
Yeah, we'll have to keep track of it. Let us know when it's going to the races, and we'll keep a good eye on it.
No, a bit of fun, mate, isn't it?
Yeah, no, good stuff. Hey, Buzz, great to talk to you as always, mate.
Yeah, good on you guys. We'll talk next week.
See you, Buzz. Cheers.